Orange County operational area. Separate words, all separate words.
All caps?
Nope, doesn't matter. Orange County operational area. It's not case sensitive. The password is case sensitive, the username is not. So even though I capitalized because I wanted it to look nice, it doesn't matter. You could write it all in lowercase, write it all in uppercase, it doesn't matter. Now the password does have to be in all capital letters. It's O-C-O-A. O-C-O-A, all capital letters.
O-C-O-A.
It's just the abbreviation of Orange County Operational Area. O-C-O-A. All capital. So after you do that, get to this screen. After you hit OK, you put in the username, Orange County Operational Area, the password O-C-O-A, all capital, and we get to this screen. Is anybody not on this screen yet? All right, now if you look at this position drop down, it gives you a list of all the different positions in the EOC. And you should see something that says OOA Races should be in there. So go ahead and drop down that position list. OOA Races. Yes, yeah. So from your position, you're going to pick OOA Races. And after we find our Races position, we're going to pick an incident. You see, you've got four options for an incident. You've got emergency training, ReadyNet, which is a hospital system, and resource manager training. So the only two that you really need to concern yourself with are emergency and training, OC emergency and OC training. And so if you're here for a real activation, you work in the Races room because we're really doing something, you're going to select emergency. Any other time you get in the system just to look around or you want to become more familiar with it, pick training. So today we're going to pick OC training. And then hit OK. And now fill in the blanks with who you are. Because you've told us that you're working for the operational area and that you're a Races member, but we don't actually know who you are. So put in your name. For location, if you're in the Races room, you can put the Races room and put a phone number for the position you're at. Yes.
Any old number?
Yeah, you can put any number in there now, yeah.
This is just for training.
And once you've got that filled out, you can go ahead and hit OK. And we'll see, maybe we'll have our next batch of problems. Everyone should have this screen pop up after they hit OK. Sometimes the settings here get messed up and some people get pop-up blocked.
Pop-up
You can, if you want, you can close this screen behind there. It makes it a little bit easier to see, so I'm going to close mine. Yeah, the one behind you can close. The screen that says logged in, you can close that if you'd like. So is everybody seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Control panel. A lot of times we call this the remote control, the control panel for WebEOC. WebEOC is based around the concept of boards. So we were talking about how we have these whiteboards around the room in the past, or well, they're still here. But the whiteboards are used to visualize pieces of information or sets of information. So WebEOC has boards that are computer screens that replicate the whiteboards that we've had in the past. So we have a list of all these different boards that we use to share information, but we're really only concerned about two of them, especially for the purposes here. The first one is activity log, the one at the very top. It says activity log, it's got the little asterisks by it. Go ahead and click on that. You're gonna get another screen pop up. If you want, you can maximize this, make it a little bit easier to see. And right now it's blank, there's no information in here. Now what you're probably used to in the past is getting a paper activity log when you come into the EOC, right? You write down everything that you do during your shift. When you sent a message, when you received a message, you got a call about whatever, you know, you did a roll call, whatever, you put all that stuff on an activity log with a timestamp of when you did it. Pretty similar to, you know, a radio log, but you're tracking our activity in the EOC. So instead of doing it on paper, and when you do it on paper, it doesn't get turned in at the end of the shift, or it falls behind the desk, or I can't read your handwriting, or whatever the case may be, we put it in the computer, we have it, it's permanent, gets backed up, we have a legible copy. So we want people in the EOC to use the electronic copy of the activity log to keep track of what they're doing throughout their shift. So you'd come into the EOC, you'd find one of the EOC staff in one of the black vests, you'd say, hey, I need a little bit of help getting logged into WebEOC. We'll say, no problem, we'll come walk you through the steps that we just did. We'll get you logged into WebEOC in the Racy's room or wherever you're assigned, and we'll open up this activity log. And as you work your shift, you're gonna fill in your reports and your activity log in here instead of writing them on a piece of paper.
So instead of when we're here in the radio room, instead of using a handwritten radio log as we're used to doing, you say when we're activated, we'll use this as our radio log?
Let's take a look at it, because there's requirements for you to keep a log, right? FCC requirements to keep a radio log. If this meets the requirements for that, let's do it. Otherwise, you're doing dual entry. You're keeping a radio log and you're keeping an activity log. So my recommendation, if it meets the FCC requirements, is to keep your log in here, because this becomes a permanent part of the record for the entire EOC response. And one thing you can do, I'll show you in a minute, when you're done with this at the end of the shift, you can still print a paper copy. So if you need a paper copy for records, you can print this out, staple it, keep it at the position. So let's take a look at what the fields are that are in here and decide if it really does meet the needs. Go ahead and hit new record in the upper right hand corner. And right now we don't have any entries, it's all blank. So hit that new record button. And you're gonna have a bunch of fill in the blanks here. You've got a date time field at the very top. It pre-populated that based on the time that you clicked the new record button. So it filled it in 24 hour time at 8:15. You can change that if you want. So if you're putting information in that you're logging late, you know, something happened 10, 15 minutes ago and you're getting around to logging it now, you can change that time. It still logs the time that you actually save it. It just makes note that you're saying that you logged something earlier. So You can change that date and time. If you're actually changing the physical date, there's a date picker you click on the calendar. But for this purposes, or these purposes, and for most purposes, usually the date that populates in there will be the date and time that you use. There's an event type dropdown. If you click on that, you're going to see there's a few different event types. So if you're logging information that's pertinent to one of those, this is not a required field. But if you're logging information that's pertinent to one of these, you can tag it as such to kind of use that social media term, right? Tag. You can tag it as a law enforcement event, healthcare, fire, public works, other. You can assign that to it if it's pertinent to the information that you're entering. And then you'll see there's a couple of description fields, and we'll see what this one in the gray is all about in a second. But you can't type anything in there. That one that's in the gray box, nothing can be typed in there. So you have to type into the input box. So if you put your mouse in there, you can type a description of the information that you're logging. And on an activity log, that was the same field, but you were trying to cram a bunch of information into one little line. So you can type whatever you want. Into that description box. Now, a lot of times we're dealing with information that may be confirmed or unconfirmed. And again, you can mark the information as such. So if you got a report from the field that there's rumors going around that a bridge is out, that would be unconfirmed information. So you can still log that information, but mark it as unconfirmed. If you have a city EOC calling on the radio and they're saying that we have our public works people on scene and the bridge is out, that's confirmed. So depending on what information you're documenting, you mark it as confirmed or unconfirmed. And then ask for a location. Most of the time there's going to be a location associated with the information that you're putting in. One thing that's a little bit funky about this, and it's something that we hope to change, is that it requires a city and state. Right? I know we're all in Orange County, so our states should be very limited, and our cities more limited than they are. But at this point, we have to put in a city and state for the geocoder to work, for it to find the latitude and longitude for this address. So I put in our address at our facility here. I'm going to hit this get address button and cross my fingers. And my contractor didn't update the geocoder. So it used to use the Yahoo geocoder that went away, but it was supposed to get updated. That's why it's saying not found. So much for that. If you have a location that's based on latitude and longitude, you can enter that into these fields. So not everything is based on a physical address. Sometimes we're dealing with stuff out in the sticks. And we can put latitude and longitude in here to document the points. This takes decimal latitude and longitude, not degrees, minutes, seconds.
Question?
Yes.
You have a UTM pad?
No. Our mapping system that's supposed to get upgraded will have support for UTM, but we don't right now. But it's coming.
Do you separate the decimal and just the dots then, right?
Just one dot. So yeah. So degrees, dot, decimal, minutes.
You put in a Fullerton count.
You can label this location if it has a significance or a title, and then you can add an attachment. So say for example, I don't know how fancy we are right now, but say you got a image slow scan TV, and you can put it in the computer. You want to attach that image. You can browse to that file on the computer and attach it, just like you would attach a file to an email. And then that attachment becomes part of this record. So, slow scan or whatever you guys got going on. If you can get those pictures in the computer, you can attach them to this. Then there's a couple little check boxes here. Post to EOC significant events and post to operational area significant events. what we're saying here is, you know, I can put information in about what I did for my